Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
New York's number one sports radio, 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
And Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
And as advertised, Eric Boland of Newsday. Eric, thanks for a couple of minutes for sure.
Steve Summers, it is a pleasure to talk to you after a very long time not talking to you.
Well, and I hear you all the time on the radio station, and you're always doing a good job. So my turn is now with you. and I guess from now on, Eric, whenever, and of course, Eric, with Newsday, everyone knows from Eric, and with Newsday covering the Yankees, Eric, from now on, if I hear the word discomfort, I'm not going to buy it.
Well, I mean, I think certainly, and I know you're not a Yankee fan, but I think most Yankee fans can associate with that perspective, because after what happened last year with a record 30 players that were placed on the injured list, it seems like they're off and running in that same direction this year. And Luke Voit, actually, when we were in Dunedin, a group of reporters talking to him after today's exhibition game and asking him his reaction to the Severino thing, basically, you know, said something similar. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you know, you didn't think it could get any worse than last year, and here we're starting down this path again, it seems. So, you know, I had one Yankee fan describe it to me as PTSD, coming off of last year, and you know, like I said, if I was a fan of this team, I would probably concur with that.
Yeah, nobody, whether you're a Yankee fan, Met fan, any fan, wants to see anyone hurt, and for someone who would die to see a Subway Series, you know, and certainly it's sad news, bad news for the Yankee fan and the Yankee organization and Luis Severino for sure. But would you say this is the end of the world? Because I wouldn't. The Yankees certainly, they did well last year with Severino only making those three starts in September. They did well winning over 100 games, losing Paxton for those 4 weeks in May. And they certainly have some guys who might be able to and Herman, he'll be available to pitch June 5th. I think he'll be activated for then. But the bottom line is the Yankees certainly have some other choices, some other alternatives, which gives them a lot of pitching depth.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's several layers to this, Steve, and I think you hit on a really important one just now, which is Luis Severino. The Yankees did just fine without him last year, and that's in no way disparaging Severino or underselling the significance of the injury and the difficulty in overcoming that. But when you look big picture, you know, he was one of those 30 that was on the injured list last year, and as you mentioned, only pitched in three games, and that was in September. Mm-hmm. And this team won 103 games and coasted to an AL East title. Again, largely without any contributions from Severino, who you recall started the year on the injured list and really never made even a spring training start. Got hurt, I think it was March 5th or 6th, warming up in the bullpen when he first experienced the shoulder thing. So is this a death knell for this team. I think only a fool would make that conclusion. But and there's always a but in these things, Steve, and you've been covering these, you know, baseball and sports and everything for a long time. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason there was so much hype and anticipation for this year's Yankees team was the prospect of the obvious number one ace, uber ace pitcher in Gerrit Cole, one of the top, you know, if not the top pitcher in the sport, you know, you're getting to his name sooner than later. Mm-hmm. And coupling him with a Luis Severino who has shown in the past flashes of being a top of the rotation guy. And then you know, if you're a Yankee fan or just watching, you know, evaluating the sport, you saw visions of a 1A and a 1B atop this rotation and the prospect of a Masahiro Tanaka being your number four starter, depending on how you slotted guys in. And this team on paper had the look with a healthy Severino as having, you know, one of the strongest, if not the strongest, rotations in the American League and maybe in all of the sport, because you'd have a, you know, Jay Happ basically would be your fifth starter, and while he's not a fan favorite with Yankee fans, that's a pretty good fifth starter. And so now all of a sudden, what looked to be an overwhelming strength with the rotation, now there's two big holes that have to be filled the next 4 weeks in spring training. In a competition, Jordan Montgomery is going to get one of those spots, and then maybe one of these prospects that fans have been hearing and reading about for a number of years, who are on the cusp, you know, maybe one of those guys like a Clark Schmidt or a Davey Garcia, just to name two, maybe one of them captures the other one.
And what about King? And the Yankees will take a look at him too.
Absolutely, made his debut last year, and he was a guy that actually at this time last spring was talked about as potentially being someone that could, with a really good spring, could force him his way on the roster. And then he himself ended up with, I think it was a forearm also, that kept him out for a lot of last season. Ended up in September getting a call-up and did make his big leg debut late in September. But yes, you are absolutely correct, Steve, to mention his name in that prospect list as well as a guy that's going to get a real serious look for one of those rotation spots. And then you, of course, have Jonathan Loaisiga as well. And then some, you know, some guys that have big league experience that, you know, a Chad Bettis who came into camp a couple of weeks ago on a non-roster invitee, a local product from Stony Brook University in West Islip on Long Island, Nick Tropiano, who pitched well today in a start, you know, he'll be considered. And any number of other guys that are in camp. It's a wide-open competition, Steve.
And we're talking with Eric Boland of Newsday, of course, covering the Yankees. And Eric, if Cashman was to go outside the organization, no one really is going to be available until after the June draft. Is that fair to say?
It's absolutely fair to say. And the group of us that made the trip to Dunedin today for the exhibition game, Cashman was there, and in about the sixth inning or so outside the Yankees clubhouse, dropped the news on us about Severino and the Tommy John surgery. And one of the questions asked was, what kind of options might you have outside the organization? Mm-hmm. And he said there really is no marketplace this time of year in terms of deals for a starting pitcher, and there's not going to be one until after the June draft. So, you know, you're really forced to look within. And, you know, the Yankees do have a pretty interesting collection of young arms and veteran arms that, you know, they should be able to. Again, Jordan Montgomery, I think, is a lock for one of those spots, and then that the fifth slot very well could go to one of those prospects.
What is the latest with Aaron Judge? I mean, obviously we were told and want to believe nothing is all that serious and that he is swinging off a tee. I understand hitting some baseballs off a tee. But what is the latest with him?
The latest with him, Steve, is that for the fourth day in a row, he had Sunday off, but let's say 4 out of 5 days, he's done some indoor cage work, including tee and toss drills, which they've added to the repertoire the last couple of days. He's also extended out to 120 feet soft tossing. So, you know, you figure if a guy had a severe shoulder injury, they wouldn't have him throwing at 120 feet. So I really think, and look, and I'll add the asterisk here, I get why Yankee fans don't want to hear about, oh, he's coming along, we're going to ramp him up soon, et cetera, et cetera. Because of all the cliches they heard last year, every time an injury was undersold last year, by the Yankees, which was most of them, the guy ended up on the injured list. So I get Yankee fans being frustrated and not wanting to hear that so-and-so is making progress and they should be back soon. That said, if a guy really had a bum shoulder that you were super concerned about, you would not have him soft-tossing at 120 feet. You just wouldn't. So to me, that's a significant sign of progress. And I and Aaron Boone even acknowledged before today's game, and I asked him point blank, I said, if this was the regular season, would Aaron Judge be playing? And he said yes. So I really do think this is one of those preventative things, Steve, where, you know, the shoulder is barking a little bit. He had a full off season of activity where it wasn't bothering him. And then shortly after he reported to Tampa a couple of weeks ago, was taking batting practice at the minor league complex, and then it started bothering him a little bit with some mild discomfort, and the Yankees shut him down at that point. But again, I think you can trace tangible progress in the last week and a half or so with him. He wasn't doing any of the things that I just mentioned 7 days ago. So the fact that he is, on this one, I think this is just precautionary, and that, you know, you'll see him within, I would say, a week to 10 days in a spring training game.
Great answer, Eric. Before we leave the pitching altogether, with the loss now with Severino, let me understand. Paxton may be able to return early May. Is that the projection, Eric?
You know, it's possible, Steve. I think there was a lot of, I don't want to say misinformation, but I guess I'll use the word misinformation. When he underwent surgery and the 3 to 4 month time frame was put out there, a lot of people for some reason thought that was from the start of the regular season. It was from the time of the surgery, and he underwent surgery on February 5th. So the 3 to 4 month time frame is from that starting point. And so if you extrapolate from that and say with no setbacks and everything goes well in the rehab, he could be back as early May, mm-hmm. because that would be 3 months from February 5th, you know, May 5th or whatever. So I would say he's definitely going to miss April, no question. And then you get the window of with no setbacks. And again, everything with the rehab going well, it's conceivable that he would be back in the early part of May. And I would say, you know, probably mid to late May, early June would be, conservative. But yes, the 3 month time frame would be right around, you know, May 5th, 6th, mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm. And with the pitching situation that it is as we speak right now, will the Yankees think or consider Chad Green as an opener?
You know, they did that with him, I want to say, 13, 14 times last year, and with mixed results. It was really good some games, and, you know, some games not so good. I think they'd prefer not to do that, and their intention, I can tell you, before these injuries to the rotation was that, you know, he wasn't going to be considered for that role. But now at this point, because the Yankees' overall record when they used him as an opener last year was so good, that everything is on the table at this point. So 2 weeks ago, I would have said, yeah, there's very little chance of that happening. Now, with, again, and I know I said it earlier, I think Jordan Montgomery gets one of those spots. If none of the other guys that I mentioned, mm-hmm. or guys that I haven't mentioned, really go out and grab the extra, you know, the fifth rotation spot, then yes, I would say that it's conceivable that the Yankees go the opener route, at least until Paxton comes back. But I don't think that's their preference at this point.
Eric Boland of Newsday, of course, our guest. What about Aaron Hicks? What is the latest with him, Eric?
I mean, there's really no latest. He had Tommy John surgery, obviously, right after the season. With a position player, you're not looking at nearly as long a rehab, obviously, as a pitcher. So again, assuming you don't have any dramatic setbacks, anything of that nature, it's possible that you could see him in the June, something like that.
And here's a good problem for the Yankees to have. You have Urshela, and of course, this is a very important spring for him. He wants to prove, at least during the spring, that last year was no fluke with his hitting, and we know from his glove, which was sensational. And here comes Andujar. He's already hit a home run in he's seeing a pitch for the first time in a while, that's for sure. And I understand that Andujar may see sometime at third, maybe sometime in left field, sometime over there at first base. So he's going to be tried out. He's going to be trying out at what, at a couple of positions, will he not?
Yes, Steve. And so, you know, early in the winter, Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone, but obviously Cashman is the ultimate voice of authority on this, said that Urshela, the third base job, was, quote, his to lose. And when that declaration comes in November, you know, nothing's going to change that over the next, you know, few months. But what Andujar did 2 years ago, his rookie year, with the bat, the Yankees are going to have that bat on the 26-man roster when they leave camp in some way, shape, or form. And so, starting in November, Miguel Andujar, who, as an aside, is one of the absolute hardest-working guys on the team, was showing up at the Yankees minor league complex, working with Carlos Mendoza, who was the infield coach and then got promoted to bench coach when Josh Bard left the organization, and was working, again, starting in November, yes, at third base, but also taking balls at first base and taking balls in the outfield, most specifically left field. And he's been doing that since November, and that's continued into the first few days of full squad workouts. So his first couple of games, like you mentioned, Steve, at third base, but then later this week we'll see him, you know, at a game in first base, at first base in a game, and then in the outfield probably, you know, a couple of games after that. One way, shape, or form, like I said, he's going to be on this roster. It's just a matter of how comfortable he appears at any of those positions. Certainly he's going to get reps at third base, obviously. Urshela is not going to play 7 days a week, so and Andujar is going to get some opportunities there. But to keep his bat as a, maybe not an everyday presence, but certainly a more often than not presence in the lineup, the Yankees would really like for him to, you know, feel comfortable at least one of those other positions, if not both of them.
Sure.
And his attitude has been exactly what you would want for a young player, which is whatever I have to do to be in the lineup, playing an uncomfortable position in the big leagues is better than playing a comfortable one in the minor league, and I'll do whatever it is that I have to do. And the work ethic has backed that up. So, like I said, he'll be on the roster. It's just a matter of exactly in what role.
Oh, sure. And you would like to think that maybe, I you know, besides a little, I mean, he is shaky at third base, as we saw when he was out there at third base, and a little bit shaky defensively. And then again, okay, we're going to try him out in left field. We'll try him over there at first base. How often do you think, if he is going to be hitting like we saw in his rookie season with all those doubles, what was it, 44, 45, it was a doubles machine, what are the chances that he takes his turn as a DH?
Oh, I think that, that's a good possibility, but keep in mind, you know, Giancarlo Stanton isn't going to be an everyday left fielder. So, you know, the majority of DH days I would anticipate are going to be taken by Giancarlo Stanton. Not exclusively, but the majority. And Gary Sanchez is going to, you know, he's not going to catch 7 days a week, so you're going to have DH days spread, you know, for him as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and Andujar certainly could get some reps there without question, but the Yankees would definitely prefer to him to take to a position, an extra position or two, so that they can kind of, you know, spread him around, if you will, a little bit.
Sure. And Sanchez, is he going to be better defensively?
That's among the million-dollar questions of the spring. That's certainly up there. You know, you've read certainly, I'm sure, about the new stance that not only he but all the catchers, the one knee down stance, taught by Tanner Swanson, who the Yankees pilfered from the Twins, who Mitch Garber, who is a terrible defensive catcher, credits what Tanner Swanson did with him when he was in the Twins organization for making him a decent to sometimes even good defender. And the Yankees are hoping that Swanson can work that magic with Gary Sanchez. The early results, and it's obviously very, very early, have been mostly good in that regard, but it's just, I don't think you can jump to those, you can go from point A to point B and say, yeah, you know, he's there. But he's putting the work in. You talk to people behind the scenes, he wants to get better. It's not lack of desire. He's very open to changing, which, like I said, Tanner Swanson is having all the catchers work that the one knee down stance, and he's been very open-minded with it and has been working hard at it. And, you know, the couple of games that he's been in, he's looked fine.
And the Yankees did sign, what, Tolley, Arrieta in the offseason, and, of course, they have their backup set for now. And
Eric Kratz, too, has big leagues.
Oh, yes, correct. And so, exactly. So, I mean, they certainly have a number. And you want Sanchez, if you're a Yankee fan, for sure, you want Sanchez to stay on the field. I mean, he's missed some time. And certainly the Yankee fan and the Yankees, of course, want to see some improvement with him defensively already. The bottom line is that you get the impression, Eric, that his attitude, his approach to 2020, what you've seen with him in the spring, that he is determined to stay on the field, number one, and certainly improve defensively and do what he can do offensively as well. You get the impression the attitude is in the right place?
Absolutely. And Steve, it's been there for a few years. I wrote a story a couple of years ago, a longer takeout piece, if you will, about Sanchez and his, you know, reputation for being lazy, you know, not inside the organization, but people see how he plays and he's been tagged with that. And, you know, one of his biggest defenders, both on and off the record, and he's no longer with the organization, but you obviously recognize the name when I say it, was Austin Romine.
Sure.
And Austin Romine, who, you know, trust me, if there's a guy that wasn't working behind the scenes, Romine would let you know about it in his own way. And I remember talking to him about Sanchez, and he said, quote, "Let me tell you, this is a guy who works his ass off." And so Sanchez is very well respected inside the clubhouse, and I'm not dismissing concerns about his defense, and I get why people say some of the things that they say about him, but I'm just telling you, internally, behind closed doors, in that clubhouse, and you can't fool the players, he is recognized as a guy that works. And Austin Romine, who could be a tough grader in that regard, and Romine was a very good defensive catcher, always praised Sanchez's work ethic. So that desire to be better defensively, I think, has always been there. You know, we'll see if it holds. And certainly, you know, the soft tissue injuries that he's had, you know, the last couple of years have kind of been a hindrance as well.
CC Sabathia will be gone. He certainly was a leader. The enthusiasm, the joy of from D.D. Gregorius, he is not going to be around. Will the Yankees, from an intangible point of view, we figured that Torres certainly can play shortstop, but the enthusiasm, the energy, the excitement, the joy, the rah-rah capability of a D.D. Gregorius, and also the leadership from CC Sabathia, those two are not going to be around. Who takes over for them when it comes to leadership on the team?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's one of those things that you can't force, and it just sort of has to happen organically with a clubhouse. Definitely Brett Gardner is the guy when it comes to clubhouse leader. I mean, it's established. He's already revered in that clubhouse. Him and Sabathia, it was their clubhouse last year. So Gardner, obviously, back on the one-year contract. Judge certainly carries a big voice in the clubhouse, but I wouldn't say it's bigger than Gardner's. And Gerrit Cole is, you can already see it with the pitching staff. I don't think that I'm going into my 12th year covering the Yankees, Steve. I don't know if I've seen, I'd have to go back and look at my notes and maybe review, you know, maybe 09, 10, 11 seasons. But a guy who is so obsessed with collecting as much information as possible from as many different people as possible. You see him talking to pitchers all the time, picking their brains after a live BP session that he didn't participate in, but he comes out and watches those guys work and then talks to them between innings. He'll go up and talk to hitters after facing them in live BP and say, you know, why didn't you bite on that 1-2 changeup? What were you thinking on that slider that you swung at or didn't swing at? Were you looking fastball? Where is a hitter most susceptible on a 2-2 count with the arsenal that I throw? I'm just spitballing and throwing things out. But you saw him do that with Gleyber Torres after a live BP session last week, just to use one example. It is something that people have already talked about just 2 weeks into camp, that he is an uber gym rat, if you will, and that he has an insatiable desire to collect as much information as possible, whether it be from the analytics guys, who obviously have endless reams of stuff that they can give them out, spin rates and everything else that's measured on the camera and all the contraptions that they have, to a backup catcher that catches a bullpen and he'll talk for 15 minutes with that catcher just about sequencing and things like that. And so I think he's just naturally going to develop into, that type of a leader amongst the pitchers, much in the way Sabathia was, but for different reasons.
Talking with Eric Boland of Newsday about the Yankees, of course, and you mentioned Gardner, of course, here. What is going on off the field with what seems like, and now again, we don't know, and I'm just reading about it from earlier today, is he feeling that there is a woman, a groupie, who is harassing him?
Yes, Steve,
what is going on there?
This is one I'll give you a real short answer on, because Gardner, he was asked about that when he talked to us the first or second day of report, and he declined to comment on it. Obviously, I'm familiar with it, having read it, but he just is not something that he's talking about publicly, and so there's really nothing for me to add to it.
Okay, only from what I'm reading, and of course, I think the judge involved in this case has asked this woman to provide some evidence. But the bottom line is, it does remind me, just reading what I read today, and all of this is alleged. All of this is with we're just hearing it for the first time. Nobody knows what's going on already. But the bottom line is, it could be do you feel it's a distraction for him at this point?
No, I don't think so. And based on what I've read, and again, we know, you and I know about the same on it, because we both read, stories about it, he's been dealing with it for quite some time. So I don't think it's not any more distraction now than it would have been, let's say, at any point last year.
Okay.
Because, like I said, it does, based on the dates and based on the stories that I've read, it seems like it's been going on for, it didn't start last month. But, her picture, the person that you're talking about.
I've seen the picture, yeah.
It is when you, go through security at Steinbrenner Field, there's a picture of that individual saying she is not to be allowed inside the ballpark in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. And only reading, again, from what I'm reading, which is not very much, but it reminds me of the movie Play Misty for Me with Clint Eastwood, a disc jockey who was pursued relentlessly by a groupie. But that may not be the case here with Gardner, to be fair, but after reading it and knowing I was going to be talking with you a little bit later on, I wondered if it at all was a distraction. And as you point out, certainly if it has been going on for some time, Eric, then certainly it certainly didn't get in the way of the kind of season he had last year, which in his older age had his best year ever.
Yeah, I mean, he was terrific, and the Yankees don't pay for leadership, but there's no question that with Sabathia retiring and the highest regard that Gardner is held in that clubhouse, including by Aaron Judge, who's one of his closest friends, and Gardner mentored Judge when Judge came up in 2016 and then had the breakthrough rookie season in 2017. They've been very close, since then. There's no doubt that the Yankees, obviously the numbers that Gardner put up last year and his ability to actually stay on the field for all the injuries they had last year, the 36-year-old veteran actually was one of their healthier players. but you take all of those things together, it was almost a no-brainer that the Yankees were going to bring back Gardner for at least one more year.
Oh, sure. And the Yankees have announced that Severino will be undergoing Tommy John surgery a Thursday at the hospital for a special surgery. Before I let you go, One more question for you, Eric, and then I promise I'll let you go.
That's
How dominant was Cole the other day?
Well, I mean, he was. I've been doing this long enough where I don't get carried away, or I try not to with spring training outings. But let's just put it this way: you know, he for one inning for 20 pitches. If you're a Yankees fan, you feel very good about your new pitcher.
Yeah, and 12 of those 20 strikes, and what did he get? 97, 98 on the gun, right?
Peaked at 98, yeah, which was a little bit surprising to me, because usually you don't see guys in their first outing throwing quite that that hard. But we asked him about it afterward in the clubhouse, and he kind of was nonchalant and said, yeah, that's kind of where I thought that I would be and where I've been in the last few years in spring training. So, you know, he shrugged it off. So it wasn't like he was overthrowing or anything like that, which you sometimes can worry about, particularly when a guy changes teams. But it was kind of a par for the course outing. He was mostly pleased. A couple of pitches he would have liked to have had back, but every pitcher is going to say that. But you know, overall, a good day's work. And like I said, if you're a Yankee fan, you're very, very enthusiastic, and you really can't wait until the season opener in Baltimore on March 26th.
Oh, no question, Eric. I can't thank you enough for all this time. Always a pleasure. And I look forward to the next time for sure.
I do too, Steve. And it's been well over a year, so you know I can't say I'm not a little bit hurt by that.
No way. It won't be that long the next time. Thanks so much, Eric.
It was a pleasure, Steve. Have a great night.
And you too, Eric Boland of Newsday, giving us more than a half hour on the State of the Union regarding the Yankees.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.